thank you all for being here this morning. So we just bless God because he is good and he is faithful and he is true. He's awesome, but he's righteous in his judgments. So Father, we bless the word of the Lord this morning. And Father, we just come into your presence, Lord, like we were singing that Shekinah glory. We want more. We want more. And we need you more every day of life, Lord, because you are the giver of life. Every breath that we have, every breath we take is because you have granted us breath and life. So we thank you, Lord, and we worship you today, the living God, the almighty God, the only God, and the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And we say, Lord, let your word be declared today. Let the word of the Lord run swiftly and let it accomplish much, because you promised in your word, Lord, that it would not return to you void without accomplishing that which you want it to accomplish. So we just send that out over the airwaves today, that the word of the Lord will accomplish not just a little, but it will accomplish much, and great exploits will be done in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Bless you guys. So I want to share with you this morning a couple of thoughts. This is like I'll be jumping around scriptures a little bit this morning, but try and stay with me. I'll make them announced to you so you know where we're going, and hopefully you'll understand why we're going there. But this is the year 2020. This is the year that we didn't expect to have what has happened to date in this year. So this is not over yet, and 2020 is certainly not over. And so there's more things coming. There's more things that are shifting and happening. And I don't know whether you're aware, but on the 21st of this month, which is Monday week, that the scientists and the astronomers are predicting that the first time in 800 years that the planets line up so closely, like one will be five units away from Earth and one will be 10. But because of the alignment of the planets, that the recreation of the Bethlehem star, as they call it, will happen again this year. That's not a coincidence that in 2020, that the star that shone brightly to announce the arrival of Jesus Christ is this year going to shine brightly over the world. And they're saying that if you've got a good sky at the dawn time on that Monday morning, that is when you will be able to see it. So that would be great to see, because I think it's an announcement in the skies that God is preparing something big, and that we are shifting from 2020 into 2021, and things are going to accelerate, things are going to shift, and we're going to see the hand of God, the glory of God. We're going to see what the Bible speaks about, that there'll be signs and wonders in the skies and the heavenlies. And so I think this is a prediction of the star that's saying, now watch to the skies, because I am going to show you things, and things are going to be revealed in this next season that actually light up the world, because he is the light of the world and there is none like him. You know, so I think 2020 has been an interesting year. Some have struggled. Some have found the ability to pause in the presence of God and get closer to him. And it's been a refreshing time. Some of us think that things haven't changed. And some of us think that, well, life just seems ordinary to me. But yet for the majority of people, there has been a upset and a removal of some of the life's comfortabilities that have been around people, and people's worlds have been rocked because they depend on themselves and they depend on the ability to earn money by working and selling shares or whatever. But this year there has been a rock in the world, and people's lifestyles and their benefits have been unstable and looking unstable. So this is the season where the Lord is beginning. He's preparing to bring the people back into alignment, to realize that there has to be something more to life than what we've experienced so far. And so that's a great thing, that people that don't know Jesus are beginning to question life. beginning to question because they have no firm foundation. Their houses have been built on sand, and they haven't yet found the rock, Christ Jesus. So today is the day of salvation, and today is the day where you can say yes to Jesus Christ, that you can open your heart up and say, Lord Jesus, I haven't been good at doing life up to this date, and I want you to come in. I want you to take over in my failure and in my situation, and come and live within me. Come and be my God and lead me forward out of where we are. And so if that's you today, you can pray that prayer and you can ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Amen. So this is year 2020. In the midst of a pandemic, God has not moved off his throne. He is still behind the scenes, and it is his ways that are being worked out in the midst of what the world sees as a storm. But yet the Lord has this, and he's not surprised by it, and he is totally in control. It is his world, he created it, and nothing will shift him off his throne. So this is the year 2020. So I want to take us to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, because I don't think that you may disagree with me here, but I don't think that the Lord has allowed chapter 2020 in 2 Chronicles to be there specifically numbered as 20, chapter 20, verse 20, so 2020, to align with this year when turmoil in the world has caused people to even question their faith values and to question God. Where are you, God? But listen to me, let's read this. And so 2 Chronicles 20:20. They rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets, and you will succeed or prosper, some versions say. So there you go, 2020, what a scripture. It says, first of all, listen to me. Put your trust in your God, and you will what? You will be established. So there's an ordinance set that if you trust the God that you believe in, then he will establish you in the land, establish you in your community, and establish you where you are in your workplace. That you are a son and a daughter of the living God that gets to just leak out around other people that peace that you carry. The blood-bought things that we have been given by the throne room of heaven to use around us and to touch other people's lives, to bring security in the midst of their confusion and to bring peace to them when they need it most, and to offer the solution to all things, which is accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. So God is on the move. God's doing things. I think of this, there's a link here, 2020, as I've already said. But if you take the next verse as being relevant to the year we're about to move into, 2021. Now listen to this. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire. As they went out before the army and said, Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Amen. There's a clear principle here. And then verse 22, and when they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and so they were routed, or they were destroyed. There's the confidence you have. If you establish in your heart that you trust the Lord and he establishes you in his ways, then you get the confidence in your God that he is up to bigger things than even what we can see. And if you trust in his prophetic that he sends forth to the prophets of this world, that they are speaking over us and that they share with us what comes to them via the throne room, and you trust it, you got to weigh prophecy, I know that, but if you trust his appointed ones, then things shift and things change. But this next year, I feel that the year of the Lord is saying for next year is that as the church, we need to arise into the place of thanksgiving, into the place of worship, into the place of declaring our God is still on the throne. And we'll do that through singing. You know, we've had a year where we've virtually had church crushed down to the point where we can't sing and we are not allowed to praise. And like I said last week, I'm sure heaven misses the actual involvement of the people of the earth praising alongside those that are the angelic and the hosts of heaven that are singing holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. You know, so the Lord has almost said, it's enough, enough. 2020 has been enough. My signs and wonders are now about to break forth in the skies. And we are about to move into a year where we set the place, set the pace, and actually we sing and declare over the nation, over our families. We sing the words of the Lord, and we worship the God Almighty that we serve, that we will not be silent, and God will not be silent, because no one can silence our God, because he is the mighty one of Israel. He is the God of the universe. He is the all surrounding God. He encompasses everything. My goodness, he made everything. It's his in the first place. So he dictates what will happen. He will dictate where it goes. And he knows the end of the story, because he has planned it before we were even born. He was planning it before he made the earth, that God is totally in control. There is nowhere where he has lost control of his plans and his purposes. To 21, it's a year of worship. It's a year to give praise. You know, it's the appointment of those who sang, but also the appointment of the holy attire ones. And that's like the priesthood that would stand before the Lord day and night, the Levites, that would be the worshippers, you know, and actually they would be in before the Holy of Holies, worshipping night and day, night and day. So they are worshipping, but they're also calling on the Lord. And we as a church, we need to worship, but also call upon the name of the Lord, because we want to be the ones that are saying, God, you've established us, and we are established in you, and we are with you. We are at your side. And whenever you move, we're going to move with you, because we want to be where you are. We want to do the exploits that you're doing. And when we see you move, we will run to where you are, so that we're involved and backing you up with worship, praise, and prayer, so that we see the kingdom of God expand next year like never before. You know, and so some have been saying that January is going to be a significant month, and I think probably more March is going to be a significant month, because it's the incoming of the spring, springing to life, everything coming back again, and preparation for the heat of the sun coming in the summer. So I think we're in for an exciting year next year, and God is good all of the time. Now, the whole thing about a battle, these guys got rooted because of what? They established themselves in God, and then they went to worship. They went to worship before they entered the battlefield. And because of that, God heard them, he honored them, and he routed their enemies. You know, it says that he actually just came and he took Mount Seir out of the equation. He took Moab and he took Ammon. All those tribes that were coming against the Israelites were taken out because God moved on behalf of his people. God takes so much, and then he says, enough is enough. Now I'm moving. Now you will see my hand at work. Now you will be free. And it's like the children of Israel when they came to the Red Sea. I mean, how many of you have thought this through? That if you were one of those people standing at the edge of that Red Sea that day and knew that the Egyptians were minutes away from coming down to slaughter you, the whole of the nation would have been gone. You know, I would have been standing there thinking, well, come on, God, you need to do something, and quickly. I mean, because otherwise we need to turn quick and get back to the Egyptians, say, sorry, we got it wrong. Here, have us back. You know, that would be the mentality of most people, to go back to the comfortability of the lifestyle that they were used to, even though it was persecution, being downtrod. But some people would think, well, that's better than losing my life. But yet the Lord says no, and Moses stretched out his staff over the Red Sea, and the answer came, and God provided them a way to get out of the scenario that they were in, because they were his chosen people, and no Egyptians were going to touch them again. God had brought them out of the captivity, and God had a plan and a purpose, and he made a way through the Red Sea that couldn't be followed by the Egyptians, and they came out on the other side as a nation ready to cross the Jordan into the promises of God, because he said, If you look at me, I establish you in the land. So God was in the process of establishing his people right then. He hasn't stopped doing that. He still establishes us today. So when you go into a battle, you got to be sure that your enemy knows that you're about to attack. And in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 8, "For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will be prepared for battle? So the sound has to be sharp, significant, that the enemy knows that you're about to attack. Proverbs 21 and verse 31, "The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord." So you can prepare, you can prep your horses, you can get all your equipment ready, trained up, but the battle belongs to the Lord. He is the one that will ultimately work that battle for his good. 1 Samuel 17 and 47, "Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into his hands." So he is in control. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 15, "And he said, Listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." So God was speaking clearly to them, even at that point. And chapter 20 again and verse 17, "You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves." In other words, the preparation needs to still be there. You need to be battle ready. So position yourselves. Stand still. Stand your ground. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Amen. So God is with us in the heat of the battle, that we get to see him, we get to know he's there, but he's the one that's saying, prepare, get ready for what's coming, and then stand still. Pause in his presence and wait for what he's about to bring in this next season. Our focus should be our eyes on Jesus, on heaven, and what is happening there. Not so much focused on down here, but we need to lift our eyes heavenward. And when your eyes are heavenward and gazing at him, everything that's naturally going on around you gets dissipated into the background. That which would cause you anxiousness and fear gets annihilated because your focus is on your God, the giver of peace, and the one who is the light of your pathway, who leads you and provides for you in every scenario. Now, if you take a look with me, we're going to go into Judges chapter 7. Before we get there, look at Jeremiah 12, verse 5. "If you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses?" So the Lord is saying to us very clearly as church, this is not a time to be sitting back on our safety nets of everything we've got. This is a time to press in to the Father and his presence and hear his voice, his light coming to light up our pathway, so that we know that where we're going is where God wants us to go. And he's saying that if you're getting weary because you're running with footmen, so you're out there training and you're getting weary, well then how are you going to cope when the horses come and you've got to run at the speed of the horses, you know, with all your gear on? So there's a preparation that the Lord is saying at the minute, be ready, be ready, be ready for what is coming. Because what is coming, it's almost like we can do the normal by running with men, but when the Lord moves, we will have to be able to keep up with the horses. So there's an acceleration coming of what God is about to do and display of himself over the nations of the world. You know, we keep talking about this billion soul harvest, but if we are not prepared and ready for it, then we're going to be running tired and not accomplishing all that the Lord has given us. It'll be given into our hands because it's his will that none should perish. And that, you know, salvation flows like a river out of the throne room of God, and his plans will not be sideswiped or taken off, because God has a heart for every single man, woman, and child that he has had on this world for this season. We're privileged. We already know the Father, but these people don't know him. They haven't had an encounter with him. They haven't had that ability to feel all of their past and the weight of it get lifted off their shoulders. That burden is taken away, and they get to walk in peace. They get to be renewed, refreshed, and God wipes the slate clean, and they get a fresh start in life. Wow, come on. That's good news for so many people today that would love that. But they need to know, you know, so we need to be the ones that are ready to carry the gospel of good news. Good news to someone that's struggling in the minute is, let me introduce you to my friend. Let you become part of his plans and his purposes, because your life will no longer feel like it's insignificant, but feel like you've stepped into the plans, that you knew there was something for you, but you could never quite figure it out. Stepping into your new life with Jesus Christ will shift that for you, and you will actually enter into the plans and the destiny and purposes that God has for you in your life in this next season. So we want to see salvation. So if we go to this is the story of Gideon. You're very much aware of this story. But in Gideon chapter 7, if we start at verse 9, and the verse 9 says, "Now the same night it came about that the Lord said to him," this is to Gideon, "Arise, go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hands." Come on, this is God speaking over his people. "But if you're afraid to go down, go with Purah, your servant, down to the camp." So even the Lord says to him, if you're a bit fearful, then take Purah with you. I'm okay with that, because I've still got this. But if you need confidence and security and having someone at your side, then take Purah with you. And verse 11, "And you will hear what they say, and afterward your hands will be strengthened, that you may go down against the camp. So he went with Purah, his servant, down to the outposts of the army that was in the camp. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the sons of the east were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts." That's a huge crowd. And then it goes on to and said, "And their camels were without number, as numerous as the sand of the seashore. When Gideon came, behold, a man was relating a dream to his friend. And he said, behold, I had a dream. A loaf of barley bread was tumbling into the camp of Midian, and it came to the tent and struck it, so that it fell, and it turned upside down, so that the tent lay flat. His friend replied, this is nothing less than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given Midian and all the camp into his hand. So when Gideon heard an account of the dream and is in his and in its interpretation." Now this is key. This is key for next year. Look what Gideon did. He bowed in worship. He didn't leave. He heard the interpretation, and right there where he was, he bowed in worship to God. Because from the mouth of the enemy, the Lord declared to him the future plans that he was about to do, where he was going to wreak havoc on the Amalekites and the Midianites. And so he bowed in worship. "He returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has given the camp of Midian into your hands. And so he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put trumpets and empty pitchers in with torches inside the pitchers. He said to them, look at me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. When I and all the people who are with me blow the trumpet, then you also blow the trumpets all around the camp and say, for the Lord and for Gideon." So in that story, where they were surrounded by a host, where God had sent and whittled down 22,000 men down to 10,000, and then right down to 300 warriors ready to go into battle against an army that it said even their camels covered the ground like the sand of the sea, and they were like locusts. all of the army. So this is a huge thing. You imagine like maybe 100,000 guys and 300 men of the tribe of Israel going up against this. But the confidence they had was that because they sought the Lord established them and allowed them to be encouraged by the word even of their enemy who had had dreams from God to rock their world and to put fear already into them. God changed the atmosphere in the Midianites' camp because of dreams and interpretation that were sent to them. God planned it, God set it in motion, and that's what he does for his people when he's about to strike, when he's about to do something that's great, enormous, and he will prepare the way for his children to walk through in victory and come out the other side. So you can see that the worship was key. He bowed in worship. And I think this whole thing about worship as we enter 2021, we cannot be silenced. We will not be silenced as church in the nation. Now, I know the government has their way of dealing with things, but I know that a lot of the church leaders in the UK are having meetings on a regular basis with government and expressing that there is no proof at the minute that the churches and meeting together has caused any increase in COVID or any increase of it spreading. So they're debating with government to say, relax your position on churches and their ability to actually speak and to sing. And so this is a good thing. God is ramping up, ready for an explosion of him showing who he is to the nation, not just this nation, but to the nations of the world. And God is about to actually do something miraculous. I think the star on the 21st, that Bethlehem star that will shine the brightest in the sky, is a significant sign in this year of 2020, when it's about vision, it's about seeing where God is going. And if we see where God is going in 21, and we get established with him, and we get on board with him and his ways, then we are going to see some of the biggest events that we never thought were possible. Because the Lord speaks to us and tells us already that we're going to do greater exploits than what he has done. Now, signs, wonders in the skies are something, but when we get to see signs, wonders, and miracles at our very own fingertips, almost on daily basis, that we're going to be encountering people in need, but who are willing, and because of this year, it has prepared them, like the dreams to the Midianites, it unnerved them and prepared them so that they would hear and understand when the sound of the Lord was released. What happened was the pictures got broke, so and that released the light. So in the midst of darkness surrounding them, the light broke out, and the sounds of the trumpets brought a declaration of, you guys are undone. God is on the move here. So it comes with both the sound of the living God, the declaration, that trumpet, prepare for war, and the fire in your hand that lights up and dispels the darkness that has crept in around your nation, crept in around us. And God is going to actually blast his trumpet again over this nation, and the fire of light will be released and darkness will be dispelled. Those in government that are actually fixing things, rigging things against us, against the church, against the sanctity of marriage, against abortion, those people are going to be coming unstuck because they are against the plans of God. They're against the will of God, and they will not stand, not in the presence of God. They will be defeated. They will come down because God, no matter where they've, like double walls like Jericho had, when God moves, no wall will stand in his way, because he will accomplish what he wants to accomplish in this next season. Amen. So God is good. He is your provider. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. There is nothing that's impossible for him. And Luke 18:27, the things that are impossible with man are possible with God. And that's our stance. That's where you need to establish yourself upon the word of God and the strength of the word, and start declaring over yourself, I am a son or a daughter of the living God. He is almighty. He is almighty. And so that we begin to sow into our spirits and cause our spirits to awaken to what we are about to walk into with the Father. We don't want to go into this half-hearted. The Lord has a plan and a purpose before he returns to the sky. We are his instruments in his hand. And I, for one, want to be saying, God, whatever it is, whatever you want, I'm with you. I'm on the side of the Lord, because you are the victor. You are the battle winner. And we want to see salvation flowing out of our towns like a river. We've heard the revival stories of the past. I believe that what we will see will be nothing like the revival stories, because their intensity and their move will be so rapid that people will struggle to write books about it so quickly, because of the stories of the goodness of God and what he's doing in our towns and in our cities in this next season. And I believe 21 is this. We are in a new decade. This is a decade that the Lord has created. And I believe that we are about to follow and see him move. His light will light up our pathway. And I get the impression that some of us will grab this with both hands, and that we will be running after the plans of God, running after the purposes of God, because we want to be involved. We want to sow in where our God is sowing in. And we want to be the sons and daughters, you know, the ones that know the seasons and the times. And we want to be part of the kingdom of God, spreading love, spreading the fire of God, and allowing the anointing fire of God to fall upon us. You know, when the disciples were in the upper room, it was the sound that came, releasing the sound, the shaking of the building, and then the fire fell. The glory of God fell right down amongst those in the upper room, and they came out changed. They came out actually totally transformed. You know, and I think it's there's the verse in, yes, 1 Samuel. We'll just share this with you as we close. 1 Samuel and chapter 10 and verse 6. When I finally get to it. Chapter 10 and verse 6. I've gone back to chapter 6. Right. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you mightily, and you shall prophesy with them and be changed into another man. It shall be when these signs come to you, do for yourself what the occasion requires, for God is with you. And I love that part, that you shall prophesy with them and be changed into another man. So when the presence of God falls upon you, you cannot stay the same. It is a God-given gift that when the power of God comes upon you, that things shift and things change. Those men and women came out of that upper room filled with the Holy Spirit, on fire with God, even spoke in, you know, they spoke the language of God, but others heard it in their own languages. There was a shift that happened, and the presence of God entered man into a new season of life-giving flow. You know, and that has not changed, but some of us, through weariness and tiredness and not seeing the things that we thought were going to happen, have actually stepped back a little bit. But you need to stop the stepping back and begin the stepping forward into his plans, and believe in your God again. Let your ways be established in his ways, and allow God to come with mighty fire upon us, his church. We are the ones that he has here today, folks, that can do the exploits. He, not that he needs us, but he gives us. It's his blessing upon us to be a part and to walk alongside him in what he is releasing to the people of God in this next season. So, you know, we are coming to the end of 2020, but we're about to step into the new, into the 2021. And so God is moving. We're going to see God move even more. And things that can be shaken will be shaken, but the church is becoming ever more glorious and bright. You know, we are the light of the world. We're the salt of the world. He has placed us here to make a difference. So we want to get ready. We want to get battle ready. We want to get our weapons of warfare, you know, on our feet, firmly stood on the ground, and the word of God established and ready to roll when he's rolling, because we will know it when he comes. You know, we will know it when he moves upon the earth, because his glory will fill his church. It says he's coming back for a pure and spotless bride, a glorious bride. So that means we are going to have some amazing times over the next few years with God as he launches forward his kingdom And as he establishes it and gets ready to return to Jerusalem to establish it even more. So we are the sons and daughters. We are royalty. We're a royal priesthood. Royal priesthood means that we've got the rights to put on the garments and enter in to worship and to see God change and shift things through our worship and our being still and allow God to fight the battle. Amen. Amen. So Father, we just bless this morning. Father, we thank you for the word of the Lord. And Lord, we say, let your ways be established in us, that we would say the biggest yes in our life that we have ever said. And that is yes to you, God, in every shape, form, or fashion. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, that you would not leave us behind, that we would find you, we would know you, and that we would be overcome by the glory of the living God, that all our ways that are still attached to us would get washed away. All things that have actually been hindering us and making us hold back because we don't think we've got the strength to battle through. And yet you said, Lord, that nothing is common to man that you haven't walked through and you haven't overcome. So that gives us the confidence, O Lord, that you are the God who cleans us up. You are the God who restores us. You are the God who allows the blood flow of Jesus to flow through us. And so we establish our heart, we establish our ways, and we say yes to you, O Lord, for this next season. In Jesus' name, amen.